Okay, folks, longtime listeners know that our next guest has been trying, dare I say, heroically, to come up with a recurring character for the show. All of his efforts have been spurned with a callousness that borders on cruelty. Only now do I see how blind I was. Too late, alas, too late. At least I let him write his own introductions. Please welcome Bruce Cherry.
Thank you, Mark. You know, you once gave me some sage advice.
And what was that, Bruce?
A pinch of rubbed sage adds a new layer of flavor to traditional pasta sauce.
And using fusilli adds a funky twist to the presentation. Hey, Bruce, have you got one last character for us?
Oh, yeah. It's a throwback to the very, very beginning of Morning Sedition.
Ah.
Recall a character called Conspiracy Guy?
Oh, yes.
Yep, saw plots and everything. It was loosely based on your own paranoia.
Hey, who said I'm paranoid?
This character is just the opposite.
No, seriously, is somebody going around telling people I'm paranoid?
This guy is a coincidence theorist. He doesn't see conspiracies anywhere.
Huh. Wait, somebody close to me is trying to bring me down, I think.
One last time. Let's go to script.
Hey, Bruce, cut the pretense. We're at the end of page two here.
Whatever. Just continue.
Folks, our next guest is a noted coincidence theorist, Mr. Abraham Lincoln. That's an unusual name. Did your parents name you after the president?
Not at all. It was sheer coincidence. My family was as shocked as anyone to learn I shared a name with our 16th president.
Well, Abe, I understand you have a novel theory about the assassination of President Kennedy.
Assassination my ass. Let's be real. This was an incredible, if unfortunate, coincidence. Here's how I see it. This Lee Harvey Oswald, just a small-time textbook thief. And on the morning of November 22, 1963, he snuck into the Dallas School Book Depository to steal some volumes of 8th grade math. He was perusing a text called Fun with Integers when the presidential motorcade happened by. At that moment, from the general direction of the building, a small but intense meteor shower hit. A bullet-sized and shaped meteor passed completely through Governor Connally before killing the incredibly unlucky President Kennedy.
Wow, so this isn't exactly a single-bullet theory.
It's a no-bullet theory. You got to look at things logically. Take 9/11. It wasn't a government plot. It wasn't even a terrorist plot. Heart disease is the number one killer in America. It only makes sense to assume that a pilot in mid-flight on that ill-fated morning succumbed to this common killer. Luckily, or unluckily as it turned out, some Arabs who had been taking flying lessons were on the plane. Seizing the chance to save some lives, they took control of the cockpit, but their aviation skills not up to the task. In a desperate attempt to land at LaGuardia, they flew the plane directly into one of the Twin Towers.
Well, that's one.
If it's reasonable to assume that happened, hey, it's reasonable to assume that the exact same thing happened again at roughly the same time. Except those heroic Saudis managed to miss the flaming first tower, unaware that their evasive maneuvers would take them directly into the second tower. Sad, really. I mean, what are the odds?
All right, well, what about the plane that struck the Pentagon?
Ah, that, I believe, was a weather balloon.
I take it you don't believe in Bigfoot.
Bigfoot? Mark, I don't believe in white-tailed deer. There's simply no way that a creature that size could be roaming the woodlands of North America without ever being detected.
But hunters kill tens of thousands of deer a year.
Exactly. Hunters, most of whom have a high school education or less. Exactly the kind of people given to superstition and tall tales.
All right. So what are these creatures they have tied to the hoods of their trucks every hunting season?
Yeah, probably a gazelle escaped from a nearby zoo, or an 800-pound house cat. These stories of deer just strain belief, Mark.
All right, and there are no unidentified flying objects?
There are no identified flying objects. All these wild tales of birds and planes. It's mass hysteria. Think about it. People in airports are in a hurry. They don't have time to properly observe the phenomena they think they see. When one of them says they saw an airplane or they took an airplane to Houston, they're just repeating things they've seen in the media.
All right, look, Bruce, I don't think I can give you a recurring character, but it may be some consolation to know that I won't be recurring either.
Hey, Mark, look, it's my last appearance. Let's tell your audience the truth. I am a recurring character.
Right.
There is no Bruce Cherry.
All right. Okay, why not come clean? Why don't you tell them what your real name is, John? I mean, Bruce.
Well, there goes the surprise. My real name is John Kelly Street, which can be shortened, of course, to Johnny K Street.
Oh.
And, When Mike Ferrucci told me he was going to make up a character using my real name, I decided to create Bruce Cherry.
All right, you might as well start using your real voice, John.
Good point, Mark. It's nice to not have to speak in that vaguely foppish patois, but I just want to tell you how great it's been to appear every week on your show as my alter ego, Bruce Cherry.
Hey, man, it was great having you. Bruce Cherry, everybody.
It follows me, baby.
All right, we will be back with Ellen Perry. Stay with us.